The truth? The whole truth? Nothing but the truth? The hidden truth. The vital human drama of the famous lie detector, bringing you authentic case histories from the files of the late Leonard Keeler, one of the world's foremost scientific criminologists. Mr. Keeler's real-life part is played by Hart McGuire, who reveals from week to week some of the most baffling human dramas of our time. Tonight's case deals with the mysterious disappearance of a safe deposit box from the safety vault of a New England bank. Not just the contents of the box, but the entire box, contents and all. It all started about 11 o'clock in the morning of a warm June day. Old Dr. Whitaker, family physician in a Vermont town, walked into his local bank, a branch of a whole chain of banks scattered throughout New England. The old doctor walked down the stairs to the vault where the safe deposit boxes were kept and approached the custodian's desk. The custodian was 23-year-old Augusta James.
Oh, good morning, Dr. Whitaker.
Morning, Gussie. Got some securities here I'd like to put in the box.
Yes, of course, doctor. Just sign here, please. I'll give you the master key.
Oh, very well. I don't know why I have to sign an admittance slip every time I come, though. Don't two people know me after 50 years of doing business at this bank?
Just a set of rules we have to follow. Why, doctor, your hand's shaking.
Well, of course it's shaking. Been up all night delivering a baby. You thought my hand was shaking from old age, didn't you?
Well, no.
Well, it's from young age. Thousands of them.
Dr. Whitaker walked down the stone corridor to the entrance of the vault. Here he was greeted by the guard on duty, one Felix Small.
Morning, Doc.
Morning, Felix. Here's me admittance slip.
Hey, say, Doc, your hand's shaking. Maybe you need a doctor.
Oh, Felix, if you delivered as many babies as... Oh, Thunderstorm. Open the door and let me in.
Yeah. Funny thing about babies, ain't it, Doc? They always come in the middle of the night.
I suspect the good Lord doesn't want him to see this rotten world all at once. Wants to break it to him easy.
Hey, say, you do feel bad. Why, this world ain't such a miserable place as you painted, Doc.
Yes, it is. If you happen to be a taxpayer, this world ain't fit to... Ah, thunderation. Step on that light switch, will you, Felix?
Dr. Whitaker walked into the vault and stopped before the compartment in which his safe deposit box was located. First, he inserted his own key in the lock and turned it. Then he inserted the master key in the master lock. As he opened the door to the receptacle that held his box, old Dr. Whitaker got the surprise of his life.
What in blazes? Felix! Fatty! My box is gone! What thunderation have we got here? A bank full of thieves. Somebody's run off with $26,000.
A few days later, I was called into the office of a Chicago insurance company, the company that had indemnified that particular bank against loss of currency and securities from safe deposit boxes leased by customers. The man who called me was Eldon Benge, home office manager. Well, Eldon, we meet again.
That we do, Nod. Sometimes I wonder how insurance companies ever got along before the days of your polygraph.
That safe deposit box case, I suppose.
That's the one. How did you know about it?
Oh, I saw it in the Manchester Vermont paper. I wondered why you called me in on this case. There are some polygraphs in Vermont, you know, and some well-trained operators.
Yeah, I realize that, but since I've worked with you personally before, Nod, I thought perhaps I might enlist you.
All right, Eldon, I'm enlistable. When do we start?
Well, if I had my way, we would have started long ago. If we'd run a polygraph to search and test on every employee of that bank before we wrote that indemnity policy, I feel quite certain that the safety vault would still be intact.
You're convinced it's an inside job, then?
How can it be anything else?
as boxes are of the type that provide maximum security. We made sure of that before we wrote the policy. Two keys are required to open them. One, a master key in charge of the vault custodian, the other, the customer's key. If it's locked, the box has to be drilled open, the lock changed, and a new key issued.
Hmm. Who does the drilling and installing of new locks?
The janitor. He's on our list of suspects, naturally.
Yes, naturally. You'd better outline the whole procedure for me, Alden. Now, what takes place when a customer wants to get into a safety box?
Well, first, he stops at the custodian's desk. That's Augusta James, you know.
Oh, yes, I saw her name in the paper.
On an admittance slip, he must sign his name, box number, and the time. The custodian verifies the signature and files the original slip. Then she gives the customer the master key, which he takes to the vault guard, along with a duplicate of the admittance slip. The guard then accompanies the customer into the vault and...
Wait. Now, according to the paper, this Dr. Whitaker went into the vault alone.
I know. The guard, a man named Felix Small, claimed he knew the doctor so well...
Suspect number two, the doctor himself.
You're exactly right. I understand that the old doctor kept great quantities of cash in his box. Why?
Well, possibly he preferred not to record it in his books. No record, no income tax.
I can see that I won't have to waste much time with details now.
Except for one.
Yeah?
The contents of a safe deposit box might conceivably be hidden in an inside coat pocket, but isn't the entire box a pretty cumbersome thing to carry without attracting notice?
Yes, it is, and I have hopes that your polygraph might locate that box and tell us how it was done.
Hey, now, just a minute, Ellen. The polygraph isn't a Geiger counter. If we're going to locate that box, we've first got to locate the person or persons who got it out of there.
Mm. Well, there are 26 employees of that bank, including the board members and the president, Harry Gilroy. I think you'd better put them through the test before you go looking for outsiders.
Are you sure they'll all submit to the test?
No, they will if Harry Gilmore has anything to say about it. He's in the spot over this, and being accused of negligence, well, if there's anything that burns a bank president up...
If there's anything that burns me up, it's being accused of running an inefficient organization. If we had screened our employees on the Keeley polygraph before we hire them, this gross thievery within our own organization might have been avoided.
But, Mr. Gilroy...
Quiet! Now I know why Lloyd's of London made that spectacular bet in Chicago. Do you know what that bet was?
Well, sir...
I'll tell you what it was. Lloyd's of London gave enormous odds that several hundred thieves would turn honest. Those thieves were employees of a large Midwestern chain store. Lloyd's was willing to bet on them because they confessed their thievery after being subjected to a mass lie detector test. Lloyd's realized that the polygraph acts as a mechanical conscience. A man who's been tripped up on it knows he can be tripped up again if he makes another false move. By George, that polygraph makes him honest and makes him stay honest. And gentlemen, in view of what's happened, I see fit to have every last employee submit to a lie detector test. Every last employee from the janitor to... Yes, I'll even take a test myself.
Harry Gilroy is determined to close any possible loophole in his organization now. I'm sure he'll give you full cooperation.
All right, Ellen. I'll wind up my affairs here and get a train out of Chicago tonight, if possible. Yeah, 26 or more suspects might involve a lot of bookkeeping detail. I think I better take Ole Stevens with me.
Ole Stevens?
Viola Stevens, my secretary.
Oh, yes, of course. Take her along by all means. I'm sending an investigator out, too. You remember Warren Gross?
Gross? Oh, sure. I hope we're as successful in this case as we've been on previous insurance claims we've worked on together, Eldon.
So am I, Nod. To the tune of $26,000.
While Ole Stevens and I were on the Century bound east from Chicago, something was taking place in that Vermont town that I was to learn about immediately upon my arrival. Harry Gilroy, president of the bank, was having a sleepless night in his big home on the outskirts of town. At about 1:30 in the morning, he heard his front doorbell ring. And as no one else in the house seemed to be awake, he slipped on a dressing robe and made his way down the stairs. Cautiously, he opened the door.
Oh,
How do you do, Governor? The top of the evening to you.
What? You? What do you want?
Oh, no, Governor. No offense. I happen to be an actor, sir. I've become unfortunately separated from my company of stock players, sir.
An actor? You're a tramp. A common tramp.
Oh, don't let your eyes deceive you, sir. My garb might be in need of pressing. It's true, but as a matter of extreme regret to me, I've been unemployed for some weeks. I'm in dire need of lodging and a bite to eat, sir.
Well, you've come to the wrong place. I can do nothing for you.
Oh, tut, tut, sir. Is this a way to spread the milk of human kindness? You, sir, a stalwart of the community, the president of the bank, a pillar of the church.
Then you should have known better than to come here.
Oh, all the world knows Harry Gilroy. You're famous, sir. Your bank is famous.
I don't want to hear anything about what you read in the papers. I haven't any room for you. You'll have to go elsewhere.
Oh, alas, I cannot believe that the pillar of the church...
The church is open. Go there and get some sleep. But if you are not going in the morning, I'll be forced to turn you over to the authorities.
Very well, sir. I shall take sanctuary in your church. If you'll be so kind as to send me on my way with a crust of bread, perhaps.
Get out! You're drunk, and you don't deserve any consideration. You should be grateful that I don't call the police right now.
Harry Gilroy went back to bed and tried to put the incident of the tramp out of his mind. All he wanted was sleep.
Sleep. If I could only get some sleep, the insurance investigator and Keeler will be here tomorrow and be a trying day. Oh, if I could only get sleep. What in tarnation? Who in blazes? It's him. That fool is ringing the church bell. Oh, hello. Get me 1264. He keeps that up. Everyone in town will know I sent him to sleep in the church. He'll make me the laughing stock of it. Hello? Felix? Get over to the church, Felix. Throw that tramp out and get him on the road out of town. No. I don't want the police in on it. I can trust you, can't I, Felix? That tramp is my own brother.
Service is extremely bad around here, sir.
Huh? Service? What are you talking about?
Well, I've been ringing for a scotch and soda, waiter. Would you mind bringing it to pew number 6, please?
Where in blazes do you think you are? If you don't get out of here and... Wait a minute.
Oh, do I perceive a gleam of recognition in your kindly eyes?
That box. Where did you get that box?
Well, I found it along the road, sir. It came in very handy for carrying my simple belongings. A tin of tobacco, a half can of beer, a rather dog-eared copy of the Police Gazette, a bit of caviar found in a can along the railroad.
I don't know what the boss is going to say, but I gotta turn you over to the police.
The police? Oh, come, my man. I can see that you do not realize that Harry Gilroy and
I realize who you are, all right. But that box you're carrying, it's a safe deposit box from our bank.
The Hidden Truth continues in just a moment.
Naturally, in view of Felix Small's discovery, Harry Gilroy's ne'er-do-well brother was the first to be given a polygraph deception test. The newspapers played it up in a big way. Here was hot copy, a red-hot human interest story involving the well-to-do man of the world who turned out his destitute brother. There were all sorts of theories. There was even a hint that Harry Gilroy had given his tramp brother the box full of money to get rid of him. But the polygraph had a different theory about Harry Gilroy's brother. A theory I tried to discuss with the bank president himself when I could get a word in edgewise.
Oh, Mr. Taylor.
Well, Mr. Gilroy, I spent practically 8 hours with your brother today, and
Believe me, Miss Stevens, my life has been a nightmare with Arthur always hovering in the shadows. He's never been any good and never will be. I tried to keep the world from knowing that Arthur was my brother, and now...
Mr. Keeler is here, Mr. Gilroy.
Now he's robbed my bank. How can I ever convince people that I had nothing to do with it? How can
Mr. Mr. Gilroy, please. Mr. Keeler's here with his report on your brother's deception test.
If I only knew how he got into the bank. Someone must have been in cahoots with him. He never could have.
I don't think your brother did get into the bank, Mr. Gilroy. You see, he ran a perfectly clear test. He swears he found that empty safe deposit box along the highway, and I'm inclined to believe him.
But then how did the box get along the highway?
Well, there are several theories, but the most logical one seems to be that it was thrown from an automobile.
Then we'll go into that at once. We'll determine just which ones of our employees own automobiles.
That might be a long way around, Mr. Gilroy. I think we'd better start to systematically screen everyone in the bank. Ole?
Yes, Mr. Keeler.
You'd better get a list of all the employees and make their appointments with me at, make it 3-hour intervals. It'll take about 4 days to screen them all.
Right.
And start with the ones in the vault. Let me see. There's Gussie James, the desk custodian. And then there's Felix Small, the vault guard. And
Bert Sweeney, he's the janitor who replaces locks and makes new keys, isn't he?
That's right. I'll personally see that those people are ready to take your test first.
Well, good enough. I'll be set up in your inner office, Mr. Gilroy.
Nard, what do you think?
From the look of excitement I perceive, I might better ask what you think, Ole.
While you were running that test on Arthur Gilroy, Warren Gross and I have been checking up on Dr. Whittaker.
Well, that's no surprise to me. I knew what you were doing.
A month ago, Dr. Whittaker bought a $30,000 house and paid the contractors in cash.
No.
Warren Gross has been checking the bank records. Dr. Whittaker didn't use his check account or his savings account during the entire house transaction.
And you think he got the cash out of his safe deposit box?
Well, it's logical, isn't it? It's like eating your cake and having it, too. If he robbed his own box and then reported the theft, and the insurance company made...
Yes, on that basis, his new home wouldn't cost him very much. You forgot something, though, Ollie.
Yes?
Dr. Whittaker has been practicing medicine in this town for 50 years. Now, aside from being a bit miserly, there isn't a mark on his record.
If he kept his cash in his safe deposit box to avoid paying income tax on it, that's certainly a mark on his record, isn't it?
If he did. The fact is, though, he didn't.
What?
No. We've checked it with the Department of Internal Revenue. He declared the $26,000 in his safe deposit box, and he also paid tax on it.
Phew. That puts another light on it, doesn't it?
Yes, it certainly does.
Just the same, I'll be interested in how he shows up in the polygraph, Nod.
Yeah, so will I. But that will have to wait.
Wait? For what?
Dr. Whittaker has refused to take the test until we've put all the bank employees through. He insists that we'll find the thief here at the bank. There won't be any necessity for him to take the test.
Well, he may be right. But I'd like to know where he got the money for that new house.
Well, you get going now, Ollie. Line them all up. Looks like a busy 4 days. It was a busy 4 days. Out of 26 employees, I found that 11 of them gave guilty reactions. 11 of them were fundamentally dishonest and confessed to having taken money from former employers. But, so far as I could determine, not one of the 11 dishonest ones knew anything about Dr. Whittaker's safe deposit box. Now, I know what many of you are asking. How did President Gilroy himself come out on the test? Well, the newspapers were waiting for that answer, too. And I was glad to report that Harry Gilroy ran an absolutely clear test. As far as the polygraph could determine, Harry Gilroy practiced what he preached. He was a pillar of honesty.
It's shameful. Absolutely shameful. 11 out of 26. By thunder, I'm absolutely horrified. I'm discharging every last one of them.
Mr. Gilroy, this might seem like strange psychology to you, but I think if you keep those 11 people on, they'll remain honest. The polygraph caught them once, you know. I don't think they'll be caught again.
Blasted old man, I can't afford to have a bunch of crooks handling my customers' money.
Remember Lloyd's of London, Mr. Gilroy? They were willing to place a pretty stiff wager on a lot of people turning honest after one polygraph test.
Yes. Yes, I remember. Well, all right. I'll accept your psychology, but...
Dr. Whittaker, Mr. Keeler.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, Dr. Whittaker, come in.
Thunderation, I never thought I'd live to see the day that I'd be called a liar and a thief.
Well, you haven't lived that long yet, Doctor. No one has called you a thief or a liar.
Well, this lie detector business is coming pretty dang close to it, if you ask me.
Miss Stevens, Mr. Gilroy, I wonder if you'll excuse Dr. Whittaker and me.
Well, all right. Well, go ahead, hook up your infernal machine, Thunder Racing. I've lived too long to have a guilty conscience, let me tell you.
Yes, I'm sure you have. And I have no intention of running a deception test on you, Doctor.
Then what in blazes did you call me over for? See, I'm a busy man, blast it. I'm expecting 6 more babies before sunup.
You should watch your patients a little more carefully, Doctor.
What's that? I watch my patients as well as any man of my years.
I mean the husbands of your patients, Dr. Whittaker.
Hey. Now, what have husbands got to do with having babies?
One of them went through your coat pocket while you were attending his wife the other night.
Me? Who did?
It wasn't difficult, you see. You left your coat in the living room. It was a very simple matter for him to make a wax impression of your safe deposit box key.
Thunderation! Do you mean to tell me that...
He already had a copy of the master key, the key to the bank itself, and one to the safe deposit vault.
By dad, I thought them things happened only in storybooks.
Dr. Whittaker... I want you to forgive Harry Gilroy and continue doing business with him. It was his negligence that caused you this trouble.
Harry? What's he got to do with it?
You see, he was in the habit of calling the bank at night and sending the guard out on errands. If you'll recall, he sent Felix Small out to handle that eccentric brother of his the night he was cutting up at the church.
Eccentric? Arthur ain't eccentric. He's a plain souse. That's what Arthur is.
It was while Felix was out on one of his errands for Mr. Gilroy that Boyd Jenkins entered this bank and lifted your safe deposit box.
Boyd Jenkins?
That's right. You see, Dr. Whittaker, while I was busy investigating the present employees of this bank, Warren Gross, an investigator from the insurance company, was checking up on former employees of the bank.
Thunderation. So it was Boyd Jenkins. After all I've done for his wife.
Yes, Gross got a confession out of him last night after trailing into a tavern. In this tavern, he'd hidden your money in a beer case in the basement. It was Jenkins who threw the empty safe deposit box out of his car after the robbery. Oh, I have the contents of your box here in this desk. Now, as soon as Gross gets here, we'll call Mr. Gilroy in and settle the whole business.
Boyd Jenkins. Past thunderation. I brought him into the world, I did. I must have done a bad job that night.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Doctor, for sake of Ole's curiosity...
Ole?
Viola Stevens, my secretary.
Oh.
You see, she learned that you bought a new house recently and paid for it in cash. Well, of course, it's none of my business, but...
Thunderation! Well, that house is everybody's business. All my patients for 50 years took up a collection and gave me the cash for it.
They figured that any man who'd brought nearly 5,000 babies into the world ought to have some kind of a monument. And by dad, that house is it.
The Hidden Truth stars Hart McGuire as Leonard Keeler, dramatizing actual case histories. Featured with him in tonight's presentation, you heard the following artists. As Benge, you heard Ron Roberts. As Ole Stevens, Muriel Steinbeck. As Gussie, Benita Harvey. As the Tramp, Guy Dolman. As Felix, John Mellon. As Gilroy, Al Garcia. And as the Doctor, Charles Tasman. Be with us again for The Hidden Truth, a Columbia Hilda Sker production.